So welcome to Tuesday morning, day 37 of the 39 or 49. getting pretty close. So we'll start the day with a bit of the underwater breathing. So inhale, feel your whole body. And just as if you're breathing through a straw. And try and make a little bit extra room. So really fill the horizontal space and then really fill the vertical space. And once you have a sense of filling that horizontal and vertical space, as you breathe out a little bit more forcefully from the sides. You could say you'd be squeezing your egg a little bit. And if you can, play with the contractions, but try not to get too caught up in that right now. Just try and feel the rhythm of deep inhale, lots of horizontal volume or pressure. And then as you exhale, focusing more on the vertical and squeezing the horizontal. And again, just play with the contractions a bit because it's all about rhythm right now. Just all the way in. All the way around, and then all the way out. And we'll come back to that in a bit. So keep playing with the breath, and I'm just going to walk you into a bit of context and then another exercise. So one of the biggest challenges I think we all face right now in the world, and it's a big concern, I don't know, for me, with people I work with, is called audience consciousness. Which just has to do with how we learn, how we consume entertainment, many things like that, where a default sort of setting we have is to sit and watch. And the only other thing that we can do is try and find a way to lean into moments that isn't the sit and watch. It's more an engage and connect and participate. So that's a big part of these practices is to keep bringing our attention into leading moments as well as responding to moments, which is really, really a fine line, you know, almost the same thing. But to sit and wait and sit and watch most of the time to see what happens is kind of just a modern experiment, really. So when we look at a lot of these practices, they're effectively what I would call applied consciousness. Or a kind of coherence practice, because we're trying to use our attention and presence as a faculty and train it a bit. So we're going to go a bit deeper into that. So stay with your breathing. And we're going to do kind of a mental perception of something. And then we're going to work more as an embodied experience and then hopefully shift it over into something a bit more rhythmic. So with your breath, we're going to focus on the inhale. So just breathe as deeply and as precisely as you can based on how you're breathing right now. And then every time you inhale, we're just going to bring our attention to something specific. So the first quality we're going to really invest in is the quality of discernment. Now we have six minds to go into a very specific kind of discernment anytime we need to. And please keep in mind that that's a really important thing to do. I've been at this a long time and I still appreciate going through each one of those layers of my being to really train my discernment so that it isn't just an idea. Because that's a sit and watch kind of audience thing to do is, oh yeah, maybe discernment will work. So if we're going to bring discernment into being and we're really focusing on the inhale, because that's really how we receive and articulate in some ways, begin just bringing your attention to a conscious experience of discernment, the stuff that happens kind of in the eyes and face of life. I'm just going to inhale and see if I can bring into my being the state of conscious discernment. Maybe it's kind of like playing chess or poker where you want to, you know, be be aware of all the energies that are moving around and be kind of centered in them. So we'll keep breathing. And now our focus is going to be on what I would call visceral discernment, kind of heart, gut, you know, maybe I call it life or death in a way, but just that idea of being viscerally connected to something, which you have to be consciously connected for. You're just going deeper. So it's a conscious discernment and then a visceral discernment. And then see if you can tap into an instinctual quality of discernment. And again, they're all kind of the same, but they're all kind of different. So we want to bring that in as a really consistent thing to do, as a state of being, not as an opinion. So if you focus on the exhale for a minute, and usually with the exhale, we become a little bit more aware of the vertical. As we exhale, we're going to feel every time we breathe out, almost like ringing a bell. You know, boom. See if you can actually have your whole being resonate with the experience of being authentically yourself, or in your autonomy, or in your agency, or one of the better translations would be as yourself. So deep breath in. As you breathe out, feel whatever your autonomy or authenticity feels like. And then make sure you're really clear on what conscious authenticity feels like. Again, that face and eyes place. Now it can start to feel like an act, so you don't want to overdo it. You just want to be your authenticity, not show your authenticity. And then the same would happen as we breathe in and breathe out to that visceral sense of authenticity, right in your gut and your heart. You know, you could say that's when you really feel something that matters. And if we check in with our spine and tail and our sacrum, what does instinctual authenticity feel like? You know, I think of those peak moments in sports or in adventures when, you know, we tap into something and suddenly, you know, climb the side of a mountain without really knowing how. So just wanting to bring those together, because if we can inhale kind of sequentially that conscious, visceral, instinctual authenticity, and exhale our conscious, visceral, and authentic, pardon me, and instinctual authenticity, then you now have basically a very deeply somatic and very, very deeply conscious and aligning practice. And you can use that breath work and those state shifts to hopefully handle any situation, a job interview, a really difficult conversation in a marriage, connecting with people you have some kind of really long-term, you know, dilemma with, because that's really going to be your most effective and most present self. And it's something you can participate in, touch in with. We often use the metaphor of digging a well. excuse me, if I was to bring up the metaphor of a shovel, it would be that state of just real, profound, conscious, visceral, and instinctual discernment and your authenticity or your autonomy. Because that's the only way we really ever get to be who we really are, is to just trust that we can be who really we really are. A lot of us, you know, we're looking for something outside of us to make that true. And there's many things you can learn to make that true or more true, but it's always, it has to be allowed to always be true in its own innate way. So self-trust is a pretty powerful thing, and we're going to touch on that a bit tomorrow. Another way that I would bring this up, as hopefully you're still breathing with your sense of exploring that sense of discernment, exhaling, exploring your sense of yourself, your autonomy, Take a moment and think of people who come to your mind as soon as you think of the word confident. Confident. Who in your life, who do you know that just feels confident? And just picture them. And then take a moment and try to wipe away those people for a minute in your mind. Just clear off the chalkboard and ask yourself, who comes to mind when you think of the word comfortable? Because people who are comfortable are usually the people who are actually confident, and the people who appear confident are usually the people who are trying to make everyone else think that they're confident. So just another mirror to play with yourself and with other people around, I don't know, I should get t-shirts made up that says, comfortable is the new confident. Because that's really what we're going for, right? Authenticity, discernment, presence, alignment, self-awareness, self-trust. So we're going to go a little deeper into that. We're going to want to go back to our journeying practice with our twins. And again, the idea of Apocalypse Road and crawling along, going from moment to moment, is hopefully going to help us mirror in an imagined and embodied way how we go through hard times, how we face struggles and difficulty. And sometimes when we see our whole life that way, it feels like a life and death environment. And we make life and death decisions. And that's why at the end of that imaginary road, there's the cave and then there's the cliff. And if we remember our better times twin from the future, who's wanting to share some wisdom, says that they actually came into being because they went into the cave. So hint, hint, we're going to go into the cave with our hard times twin. And as I mentioned yesterday, as you enter the cave, you're going to notice that there's a cot, like a kind of almost like a hospital bed. And then over here, there's a bathroom with a nice shower and a place to get all fixed up. And between them is a pond that is just called the Pond of Truth. So usually when I'm doing this in a therapeutic environment with people, it's a lot different because I can watch what's happening and we can kind of choose where to go more intuitively. In a situation like this, I'll just walk you through why we do this with people. So if you were to go towards the cot or the hospital bed and sit there with your hard times twin and literally feel like you're sitting on this bed, and next to you is the person you would have been if for the last 10 years, self-loathing and self-destruction and dissociation and addiction had been much more, I don't know, of a way you defined yourself in your life. And the practice is to sit there on the cot and honestly be aware of every judgment, every bit of impatience that you may have with this person. Because until we can actually care for ourselves, we're actually trying to improve ourselves through judgment, and that doesn't actually work very well for most people, at least not for very long. So there's also the practice we call shape-shifting, where we go into our state, especially in our eyes, and then try and come through ourselves with respect to how we perceive that other person. Now, you could call that a kind of empathy, but when it's your own idea of who you are, I think it's a little bit more personal than just empathy. So again, as we're sitting on this cot next to our hard times twin, and again, the cot is surrounded by everything you've ever used in your life to distract yourself or numb yourself. So if you shapeshift into your hard times twin, and you've just walked Apocalypse Road, and you've just, as the twin, met your you, which is you without 10 years of addiction, they've never met the better times twin. There's a reason why they don't get to bump into each other. But if you're the hard times twin looking at you, do you feel more ashamed of yourself? Do you feel more competitive? Do you feel more defeated? And as you play back and forth between shape-shifting between who you are now and who you could have been, and you can find the patience and the compassion, then you can really begin working with all the weird little somatic things that come up, especially in your belly, in your face, around your opinions of who you used to be or who you could still become. And as simple as that is, that's a very, very powerful practice. And for some of us, especially those of us who have addiction issues, you might want to spend about 20 minutes a day sitting on the couch, cot, hospital bed, you know, whatever it needs to be, and just sit there and work on your meditation and work on your imagined belief systems and reactions and judgments and fears that come up sitting next to that version of you. And during that meditation practice, 20 minutes every day until you're done, you can shapeshift back and forth between you who you think you are now and you as you would still be if you were still trapped in those ways of controlling your life. And it's not complicated. It's very, very powerful, but it just requires that we find the patience to be with ourselves and to actually dig deep into our capacity to be empathic, really to connect to that part of ourselves. And at some point, there will have been enough time to recapitulate all of the reasons why that version of you exists and why this version of you exists and why you're choosing maybe to use this opportunity in the cave to do the most you can for your life. So next thing we would do after we've spent enough time sitting on the cot recapitulating our past is we might want to get up and go to that really nice hotel bathroom with the free bathrobe and the shampoo and the big fancy mirror and everything else that gives us a chance to see ourselves as going through a cleansing process to really come clean by actually removing what you might consider sort of the karma and the difficult memories and the pain. Now there's a bit of a danger in the bathroom, just like there's a bit of a danger you know, around the cot, in that you're being invited to sit next to your hard times twin and get pretty, you know, or handsome or clean. And you may fall into the habit of doing this as an audience member in the sense of, I think I can get away with looking okay or looking better or looking good enough. So as you sit, you know, in front of the mirror of preparing yourself for the world and preparing your hard time twin's perception of yourself for the world, this is where discernment and authenticity really matter, because the urge we all have is to look good for the audience. And that steals you of you, because now you're doing something where you're pretending. So again, this practice is just simply sitting next to your hard times twin, next to the opportunity to make yourself look better, and to try and maybe find ways to relax underneath of that impatience, to find out how you really look and who you really are. And again, that could be a meditation where you decide to sit, you know, for 20 minutes a day and just really keep asking yourself, why am I trying to make myself look other than this? And that can break down some big, big conditioning that we all have, especially nowadays. And then finally, the next and last thing to do in your cave is to go and sit, you know, with your twin, without your twin, shape-shifting or not. It really depends on what the cot and the mirror have done. But either way, you just want to sit and look into the reflecting mirror that's the truth of your whole life. And again, that could be a meditation you could do for a period of time where you just commit to sitting at that pond of the truth of your life. And this is mostly the truth of your life so far. Because the next thing we're going to do is leave the cave, go back through the hurricane, and then meet our better times twin at the cliff. And we're going to do that tomorrow. But I just wanted to share with you the power of being present to your discernment and your autonomy as a practice, and as something you can bring into that elevator up and down breathing. The value of actually really sitting down, you know, next to the addictive opportunity, the snooze button, the nap, the permission to go back to sleep and face it. And then to go and sit in the mirror of ego and face it. And then go and sit in front of the mirror of absolute truth of life and face it. And face it doesn't have to be tough. It just has to be true. Because when you're ready, you're going to want to get up, leave the cave with your now more discerning and autonomous hard time self, and go and meet your better time self. And then we're going to do some leaping. So, strange as this is, and as small as the group is getting, I hope you're still willing to try a couple of more experiments, because we only have a couple of little new things to play with. And then after that, the whole next week is going to be about accessing, I would say, your most potent spiritual potential in this life, as far as I understand it. So I'll hopefully see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, to experience what we're going to do at the cliff. So blessings, have a great Tuesday, and keep breathing with intention. Okay.